Hi everyone. Over the weekend we had general conference for my church. It's kind of a worldwide everybody get together and listen to some sermons, and it's one of my favorite things that we do. It's twice a year. When I was dating my wife, I actually she asked me if I liked sports, and I was really nervous because I had seen in my Facebook stalking of her that she had been to a football game, and I was not super into it. So I took a leap and I said, "No, not really." And she laughed and said, "Well, that's okay. I don't like sports either." And I never wanted to have to worry about, Super Bowl parties and the like. So I laughed. I was really happy because I don't much care for sports. And then I said jokingly, "But I do have general conference twice a year, and there's family tradition, and we have food and all of that stuff." And it's true. That's what we do. General conference is really, really fun for me. I've always really enjoyed it, and this time was particularly special. Now, this podcast is about civility, so we're going to talk about civility stuff because I think it was beautiful and powerful and profound. But I also want to be clear that probably the most important part of the weekend was the focus on Jesus and how I can be a little bit more like him. In fact, I've hesitated to talk about the civility stuff because I'm the civility guy, right? And it's easy for me to spike the ball a little bit and be like, "Haha, I told you so." And as it turns out, that is also not very civil. And more importantly, it could drive some people away from a message that I think is really important, but it could also lead me to think that I've got it all figured out, and I'm pretty well aware that I don't. If I'm patting myself on the back, then I'm not kneeling down and praying and asking how I can be better. So, with that, what we've decided to do today is a little bit different. We've made a highlights reel of three of our favorite talks and wanted to just let you hear those talks on their own. We're probably going to reference them in the future. We're probably going to dissect them a little bit and try to talk about how it is that we can do this stuff. How can we be a peacemaker? How can we build unity? How can we all of those things? Big shout out to my team who put this together, especially Dallin, who was able to splice some stuff together in a really well done way. And I hope you enjoy this little presentation so you can hear for yourself what it is that they have to say about how we can be a little bit better, a little bit more civil, a little bit kinder, and how we can be peacemakers.
Becoming one is a recurring theme in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in God's dealings with his children. With respect to the city of Enoch, city of Zion in Enoch's day, it is said that they were of one heart and one mind. Of the early saints in the primitive church of Jesus Christ, the New Testament records, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. In our own dispensation, the Lord admonished, "I say unto you, be one, and if you're not one, you're not mine." Among the reasons the Lord gave as to why the early saints in Missouri had failed to establish a place of Zion was that they are not united according to the union required by the law of the celestial kingdom. Where God prevails in all hearts and minds, the people are described as in one, the children of Christ. When the resurrected Savior appeared to the ancient Book of Mormon peoples, he noted with disapproval that in the past there had been disputations among the people about baptism and other matters. He commanded, "There shall be no disputations among you, as there have hitherto been. Neither shall there be disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine, as there have hitherto been. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention."
We often see people who engage in negative and derogatory comments about the perceived characteristics, weaknesses, and opinions of others, mainly when such characteristics and opinions differ or contradict how they act and think. It is very common to see these people passing on such comments to others who repeat what they heard without truly knowing all the circumstances surrounding a situation. Unfortunately, social media encourages this kind of behavior in the name of relative truths or transparency. Without restraint, digital conversation often leads people to personal attacks and heated disputes, creating disappointments, wounding hearts, and spreading flaming hostility. Nephi prophesied that in the latter days, the enemy would rage and stir up people to anger against what is good. The scriptures teach that everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve Him is inspired of God. On the other hand, that which is evil cometh of the devil, for the devil is an enemy unto God and fighteth against Him continually and inviteth and enticeth to sin and to do which is evil continually. Considering this prophetic teaching, it is not surprising that one of the adversary's tactics is to stir up enmity and hate in the hearts of God's children. He rejoices when he sees people criticizing, ridiculing, and slandering one another. This behavior can destroy a person's character, reputation, and self-esteem, particularly when judged unfairly. It is critical to point out that when we allow this type of attitude in our lives, we make room in our hearts for the enemy to plant the seed of discord among us, risking failing into his voracious trap. If we are not careful with our thoughts, words, and actions, we may end up being entangled by the cunning tricks of the enemy, destroying our relationships with the people around us and our loved ones.
Civility and decency seem to have disappeared during this era of polarization and passionate disagreements. Vulgarity, fault-finding, and evil speaking of others are all too common. Too many pundits, politicians, entertainers, and other influencers throw insults constantly. I am greatly concerned that so many people seem to believe that it is completely acceptable to condemn, malign, and vilify anyone who does not agree with them. Many seem eager to damage another's reputation with pathetic and pithy barbs. Anger never persuades. Hostility builds no one. Contention never leads to inspired solutions. Regrettably, we sometimes see contentious behavior even within our own ranks. We hear of those who belittle their spouses and children, of those who use angry outbursts to control others, and of those who punish family members with a silent treatment. We hear of youth and children who bully, and of employees who defame their colleagues. My dear brothers and sisters, this should not be.
In our extremely contentious world, how can unity be achieved, especially in the church, where we are to have one Lord, one faith, one baptism? Paul gives us the key. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. We are too diverse and at times too discordant to be able to come together as one on any other basis or under any other name. Only in Jesus Christ can we truly become one.
As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to be examples of how to interact with others, especially when we have differences of opinion. One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior made this clear in his sermon to followers in both hemispheres. Blessed are the peacemakers, he said. Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And then, of course, he gave the admonition that challenges each of us. Quote, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. End quote. Before his death, the Savior commanded his 12 apostles to love one another as he had loved them. And then he added, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire, no matter how difficult the situation. True disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
During his earthly ministry, the Savior's teachings focused not only but particularly on the virtues of love, charity, patience, humility, and compassion, fundamental attributes to those who want to become closer to him and promote his peace. Such attributes are gifts from God, and as we strive to develop them, we will begin to see our neighbors' differences and weaknesses with more empathy, sensitivity, respect, and tolerance. One of the most evident signs that we are drawing closer to the Savior and becoming more like him is the loving, patient, and kind way which we treat our fellow beings, whatever the circumstances.
The Savior's atonement made it possible for us to overcome all evil, including contention. Make no mistake about it, contention is evil. Jesus Christ declared that those who have the spirit of contention are not of him, but are of the devil, who is the father of contention. And the devil stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. Those who foster contention are taking a page out of Satan's playbook, whether they realize it or not. No man can serve two masters. We cannot support Satan with our verbal assaults and then think that we can still serve God.
As the Lord's peculiar people and promoters of his peace, we cannot afford to allow these tricks of the evil one to take place in our hearts. We cannot carry such a corrosive burden that destroys feelings, relationships, and even lives. The gospel represents good tidings of great joy.
How we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at church, at work, and online, really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way. Please listen carefully. If there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report or praiseworthy that we can say about another person, whether to his face or behind her back, that should be our standard of communication.
As we strive to develop attributes like the Savior's, we can become instruments of his peace in the world according to the pattern that he himself established. I invite you to consider ways we can transform ourselves into uplifting and supportive people. People who have an understanding and forgiving heart. People who look for the best in others, always remembering that if there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report, or praiseworthy, we seek after these things.
Contention drives away the spirit every time. Contention reinforces the false notion that confrontation is the way to resolve differences, but it never is. Contention is a choice. Peacemaking is a choice. You have your agency to choose contention or reconciliation. I urge you to be a peacemaker, now and always. Brothers and sisters, the pure love of Christ is the answer to the contention that ails us today. Charity propels us to bear one another's burdens rather than heap burdens upon each other. The pure love of Christ allows us to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things, especially in tense situations. Charity allows us to demonstrate how men and women of Christ speak and act, especially when under fire.
Unity does not require sameness, but it does require harmony. We can have our hearts knit together in love, be one in faith and doctrine, and still cheer for different teams or disagree on various political issues, debate about goals and the right way to achieve them, and many other such things. But we can never disagree or contend with anger or contempt for one another. Said the Savior, "For verily, verily I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger, one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine, to stir up the hearts of men with anger, one against another. But this is my doctrine, that such things should be done away."
If you are serious about helping to gather Israel, and about building relationships that will last throughout the eternities, now is the time to lay aside bitterness. Now is the time to cease insisting that it is your way or no way. Now is the time to stop doing things that make others walk on eggshells for fear of upsetting you. Now is the time to bury your weapons of war. If your verbal arsenal is filled with insults and accusations, now is the time to put them away. You will arise as a spiritually strong man or woman of Christ.
I say again that it is only in and through our individual loyalty to and love of Jesus Christ that we can hope to be one. One within, one at home, one in the church, eventually one in Zion, and above all, one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Let us as a people become a true light on the hill, a light that cannot be hid. Let us show that there is a peaceful and respectful way to resolve complex issues and an enlightened way to work out disagreements. As you demonstrate the charity that true followers of Jesus Christ manifest, the Lord will magnify your efforts beyond your loftiest imagination.